Right now, it is time to get responsible. It is time to bring in our friends from the Lakeville Journal. This week in the Lakeville Journal, we have Cynthia Hoswitter in the studio. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning. Are you really all alone?
You're solo today?
Far as I can tell.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you're not solo because I do believe... Janet, is that you?
Yeah.
There we go.
Good morning.
Good morning. Reliable.
Well, we'll try to be responsible today.
That's right.
Highly responsible. Not me.
Highly responsible.
Highly.
Cynthia, you're excused. Yeah. The rest of you take that on.
Now, I got the paper and I looked at the great picture from the Falls Village Food and Truck Fest. I said to myself, there's going to be a bunch of climate people that are very upset, but folks.
That's pretty black smoke, right?
Yeah. Well, it's a diesel engine, and it's pulling a sled.
Yeah.
Now, what I want to explain to folks, like who don't like horse racing, because these trucks are out there anyways, and the tractors are out there anyways, and they do these tractor pulls. It's just part of Americana, so, and it doesn't happen every single day, so.
Well, and that's what this truck fest is all about. Yeah. If you go to the truck fest, that's what you see. Yeah. That's part of the deal.
This
is the fun part for these guys who drive these trucks.
And it's fun. And it's also a big fundraiser.
It is.
Yeah. So you know what? Just relax. Don't send in any letters about it because we all know.
That's fine. But you know, they certainly.
That's a great.
Had a lot of fun doing that.
That is a great.
Rose money for a good cause.
But it's a great picture. If you're gonna,
it is.
If you're gonna advertise a truck pull.
Yeah, that is it. And you know, having when it was over in Canaan, I worked with the chamber over there and sold tickets. And boy, sitting next to those trucks, that is it. That's what you see all day long.
I first time I ever was asked to do a tractor and truck pull many many years ago. I donated my time. I didn't realize that it was going to be a 6.5 hour
day. Yeah.
but it was a lot. But it was a lot of fun.
A lot of people really love it.
The guys are super nice.
It's kind of like going to Lime Rock in a different way.
Yeah.
It really is. So
it's
anyways.
Like Lime Rock mixed together with the Goshen Fair.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
And the photos are by Tom Brown, who does an exquisite job and really gives you a different angle on all these things that. You know, we can all shoot them clearly, but Tom just adds a little extra layer of art. And so I'll be posting some additional photos from the truck pull and the skillet throw, which we couldn't get the results of, but very funny. And we'll post those on Instagram today.
All right. And a nice climate notebook by Amanda Freund, who got to ask a question of Mayor Pete on CNN.
You know, we think of these young people as, you know, we all remember them when they were young. But Amanda's, you know, she's an adult now, and she and her generation are really taking over and doing amazing things at Freund's Farm in East Canaan. And she was invited, along with a very small select group, to ask questions at a town hall style meeting on CNN with Mayor Pete, and wrote a really great description of it for us.
It would have been great if she got Bernie Sanders. I wrote the book. A really sad story that we reported earlier this week. And I think people don't realize an equestrian died while a horse fell on them while riding in Wingdale.
She was an exceptionally good rider, too. She was not just somebody out and didn't know what she was doing.
Christopher Reeves, also an exceptional rider.
Sometimes it just happens.
People are doing the sport that they like.
She was working too.
Yeah,
she wasn't even just playing around. She was at work.
But that, you know, that's, and it's a sad story and it's a horrible story. But just take everything in context.
So, 23-year-old woman who had been at UConn, was the captain of the equestrian team for 2 years in a row, had gone to England and studied animal rehabilitation, was working at a farm in Wingdale where they actually do some horse rehabilitation. And for reasons that nobody quite knows, the horse reared up through her and then rolled over on her, and she died more or less instantly.
It's just a sad story.
Very sad story.
The story, which takes up a lot of the front page on the right side, billions lost each year in scams on the elderly.
Salisbury Bank and Trust does a lot of these interesting workshops, and we try to list them when we can in the paper so that people know to go to them. But you can also, you know, check the bank's website. But great, really interesting talk by Stacy Curtis from the North Canaan branch about something that I think that you probably see this too. I'm always surprised by the number of people who say, somebody called me up and said that I needed to buy gift cards for my niece online, so I did it, and then something weird happened. Or who say, like, my friend called me from Nairobi, Africa, and said they needed money to get home, and so I wired them the money. So this is a reminder that that you should be really cautious and make a couple phone calls before you give anybody any of your personal information or wire anybody any money. And as Stacy points out, once you wire money, there's nothing that can be done to stop it. You can stop a check, but you can't stop a wire.
It's the scams that are out there are absolutely amazing. And with an aging population, more and more they're successful because as you get older, you're not quite as on top of these things. I can tell you that myself. It's just it's just the way it is. So
right. And, you know, one of the things they point out is that when you're home and you're alone all the time, my ex-husband used to do this. When people would call up to sell stuff, he'd keep them on the phone for half an hour because he was bored and he was trying to avoid writing. So you have to be careful. We had a very nice lawyer in our office yesterday named Michael Abram who's been advising us on some stuff and, you know, in terms of our coverage. And he was saying, you know, you really shouldn't even pick up the phone because sometimes they just capture your voice and then they can use that to scam people. So be really cautious about anything from anybody you don't know.
All right. Nice story about rural transportation as well.
These two very optimistic young people want to start a group called Wheels of Opportunity. They're trying to get all of their paperwork and everything in hand, and they're trying to correct a problem that, as we all know, is enormous around here, which is if you don't have a car, you can't work and you can't go to school, really. So they're trying to get donations of cars. There have been other organizations that have done similar things, but trying to get cars to give to people, you know, with a training class ahead of time on how to do car maintenance. It's incredible the number of people that don't, that just ignore the fact that they have to get their cars tuned up every 6 months and then are surprised when the car breaks down after 5 years. So you can really keep those cars going, but you have to learn how to do it. Really interesting article. If you have an old car you're thinking about getting rid of, they are looking at cars, but they have to be in good running condition.
I want to go to a picture on the inside on the regional page. And I actually saw a clear picture of this, John Brett's picture.
Of the hornet's nest.
Of the hornet's nest. I forget how he put it, though. Kind of like empty lodging for the fall.
Yeah.
But you see these hornet's nests, and they really are, even though I'm deadly afraid of them.
As
of
you
bees.
Should be.
Because yeah. I was stung by a white-faced hornet, a bunch of them, when I was a kid.
Oof.
Well, no, I was a fat kid, you know, and my brother decided to throw a rock at a white hornet's nest. And I ran the slowest, and they got to me.
You know, you should read the article because it does talk about they're pretty placid for the most part, but if they sting you, it's bad.
Yeah, I got three in the back, and but then again, my brother got the living daylights beat out of him by my grandmother, so it all evened out.
Rough old time justice.
Yeah, the HVRHS Wall of Honor has 10 new names.
Yes, and so they're going to have a ceremony in I think November, and definitely the public is invited, so you should call them up if you want to come. And what a great thing to do to support past awesome graduates of HUSI. And I want to go back to the front page for a second and talk about the Peter Baker talk for the Salisbury Forum, the New York Times correspondent covering the White House. And Janet and I were meeting with our ownership board on Saturday, and people kept coming in and saying, did you see Peter Baker at the forum? I feel like everybody in the world was there, but everybody, it was very Rashomon. Everybody had a different experience of it. So Patrick writes about, you know, people kept saying, like, he didn't talk at all. So he did talk some. He just didn't talk a ton. But Patrick summarizes what he talked about, but a lot of the questions that people were asking, which some of which are, of course, the talk preceded the whole Ukraine thing. So some of it's as complete as it could be.
Why the New York Times has screwed up so badly in their opinion section the past 6 months?
No, they did not ask them that. They were asking about White House coverage, mostly.
Gosh,
about White House stuff.
But that really affects the whole paper when that happens time after time.
As we know, yeah.
All right. Well, enrollment is level at North Canaan.
And interestingly, my reporter came back and said, "Oh, they have great enrollment in North Canaan this year. They've got 200, you know, whatever the number was, 251 or something." And so I said, oh, that's interesting. And so then I went back and I got the numbers from the last 5 years, and it's actually the lowest it's been. So, you know, we continue to have this struggle with enrollment. Schools are starting to present to their boards of ed what their unofficial tallies are, but the official tally comes out pretty soon, actually, October 1st. And that number, the October 1st number, will be the number they use for the budgets for the next year. But I would say any schools that are saying, like, oh, our enrollment's great, you should definitely check the past couple of years.
Right below that, tough funding choices ahead for Kent Center School.
Yeah, some pretty lively. So Kent really has turned out to be like the rebel army in Region 1. We think of Falls Village as always being the town where they're questioning everything, challenging everything at the regional school level. And Kent really has joined them. And they were the two towns that voted not to extend by 2 years Pam Vogel, Superintendent Pam Vogel's contract, although there were enough votes without them, even though Kent is, you know, one of the bigger schools, the three biggest schools. But there was some, at this time of year, the schools are reporting their fund overflow last year. So, you know, they fight so hard to get these budgets through, but they had an extra $58,000 in Kent, and they were like, we're going to buy a school bus, which is not technically what they're supposed to do. They're technically supposed to put it back. But there was another school, I think, that maybe even Canaan, I think, had like 123 extra dollars left at the end of the year, and you think, boy, it would have been a lot easier to pass your budget if you had just left that $100,000 off.
But yeah, no, it's a.
What do I know about budgets?
Yeah, yeah. This was kind of the Shire Con.
Really impressive thing, this guy. So this guy called Tom Wilson keeps showing up at our office. And, you know, he's not really what you think of when you think of these fantasy games. He's a super smart, super business-like guy. And he just loves fantasy and role-play games, not the electronic kind, but the kind with dice and your imagination and a pencil. And this is the second year in a row he organized a big Shire Con at the Center on Main. And you can see from Tom Brown's excellent photo, like those four guys standing up, they are the game masters, very actively engaged with the people sitting at their tables. And they're running these games in a very interesting, creative. Some of these games go on, like, started last year and were continued this year. Very engaged, the people that were playing them.
All right. And the Kent Quiz Night is always a big night in town, and it was again this year.
This is really the Kent special issue. You know, every town has weeks when there's not that much going on and weeks when there's a ton going on. So there's really a lot on Kent in this issue, which we're happy to see. So the quiz night, something everybody looks forward to. It used to be sort of a pub-style quiz night. People come in costume. That was very popular. Now the Kent Memorial Library is doing it at the firehouse, and it's packed. And they had, I think, 88 – no, wait, how many teams do they have? 45 teams with really funny names. And everybody – people around here love trivia. So it was a great night for a fundraiser, but a really fun night for everybody that came. And then at the other end, not trivial, the Reverend Roger White has retired from St. Andrew's Church in Kent. So beloved. The things that people said about him really made you feel like, wow, what an amazing, how lucky they were to have this guy in their town.
And right next to that, another fundraiser for the building in North Canaan with the roast pork dinner for the roof at the Pilgrim House coming up on the
Clay. Pilgrim House does a lot of stuff, including the Thanksgiving community dinner. There's a lot of fundraisers and things that go on there. So roast pork dinner is getting to be that time of year when we have wintery meals. I get the details in the paper.
And you have the story on the Salisbury, a lot of car pedestrian accidents.
A lot. Actually, I'm going to let Janet talk about this one because, obviously two people who are very close to the paper, Tom Shackman and John Pogue, were involved in very bad incidents. But we've got a letter to the editor. And, I'm going to let Janet talk about this. I'll just quickly say Curtis Rand had emailed and, you know, people keep saying, like, why aren't they doing this? Why aren't they doing that? So this is Curtis's opportunity to say, actually, we have tried that and here's why it doesn't work. But Janet, do you want to talk about that?
Well, I mean, I'll talk about it when we get to the editorial page because that's what our editorial is about as well. And it's not the first time that we've editorialized about this, but Curtis has been talking about this for quite some time. And he did bring out the pushback he's gotten from the state on different measures that certainly feel right. You know, they seem as if they are things that could be done to make the center of Salisbury safer. And so, right on this page, Cynthia has given him the opportunity to talk about it and ask him questions, and then we editorialize about it, too.
You know, it's not only up to the town. I live right up the road from Salisbury. And when I come down there and I come through town, people have got to learn to stay in the crosswalks and not cross other places.
And not
in
pop
town.
Out from between the cars.
That's true.
That's why
right.
The bump outs were put in there. The bump outs make you visible when you stand there, and there's people know that. It's there's a bunch of problems there, but one of them is people just have to walk to the crosswalk and walk and cross over there.
And people have to also remember that there are people from out of town who don't get that they have to stop for the crosswalk. So if you're just like, well, it's my right, and you step out, that's – and you know, not to say that that was what happened in any of these incidents. And, in fact, I believe Tom Shachtman was in the crosswalk, and that was still a
– No, but it's just, you know, it's a combination of paying attention and cracking down, having a state policeman there when somebody goes through town and they're going too fast, or they don't stop for pedestrians, ticket them. You've got the story there about Alfresco closing in Sharon this past weekend.
You know, it's interesting when you think about the old coffee shop that was there forever, and we all kind of took it for granted. But, you know, they've tried many iterations of restaurants in that spot, and everybody seems to struggle. And people in Sharon really want to have a restaurant there. So, you know, Marshall and I were talking about other possible options, and I think everybody in town wishes Eddie Meza would take it over so he'd have a restaurant to go with his hotel across the street.
I think Eddie Meza would wish so he would take it over and keep it open, because there's nothing better to have a restaurant across from your motel.
Well,
sooner or later something will get in there and hit it just right. I mean, it's just
– Eddie's so entrepreneurial, though. And, you know, they've done such a great job at Mises in Lakeville, and they had it in Norfolk
before. The car wash now.
Yeah, he's got the car wash coming over. And so maybe once he's done with the car wash, he'll go, all right, I'll take it over. We'll have classic breakfast.
I've asked him a million times.
Why does he say no?
He didn't say no. He says, what, you want to kill me?
He has a lot going on. Until that car wash opens, I don't think he'll be doing anything else. And I'm looking at that car wash thinking, I don't know if my car is nice enough to go.
I know. It looks beautiful, right? Exactly. I can't wait.
It's incredible.
All right. Puzzle of the stolen signs.
Yeah. You know, there's this ongoing sort of the subtext of the story is that there are these two competing farm markets in Cornwall. And one is run by Richard Griggs, who's very active in the town. And he and his wife own the Wish House in West Cornwall, right near the covered bridge. And they have a beautiful little farm market there that they've had for several years now. And Gordon Ridgway, the first selectman, had been one of the farmers there, and then he broke off and started a separate farm market in Cornwall on the green. I mean, in the center of Cornwall, over by Town Hall on the green. And so Richard Griggs came to town and said, somebody's stealing my farm market signs but leaving yours up. And, you know, there's nothing for the first selectman to say. Except, like, you know, that's not really what we do here in town. So whoever's taking them, it's probably fueling a feud that maybe shouldn't be fueled.
All right. More questions. Kent convalescent home.
This has been a really big issue in Kent.
Here's a term that I haven't heard in a long time.
Convalescent home? That's one of those legal state terms. And so essentially what it is a sober house, but they have to call it a convalescent home. Like, that's the legal term for it. But it's a very large private residence owned by a guy called Vince Roberti, who was a successful lobbyist in Washington, D.C. And they had a beautiful fundraiser for the Kent Memorial Library there, and I remember reading about it and thinking, like, wow, that's a really spectacular place. It's on Carter Road, right near High Watch, which is a very successful rehab, and High Watch has been expanding and sort of quietly having a lot of issues with P&Z, and then actually got in a lawsuit with the town over the possibility of a new convalescent home opening up in what used to be the Kent actual convalescent home in the center of town, which I believe is moving forward. So Vin Roberti, the son of Vince Roberti, and his brother Dan, who had run for Congress against Elizabeth Esty, and the dad, Vince Roberti, are taking this property, and they're trying to turn it into a sober house for people who have proved they've maintained sobriety for, you know, a certain number of months, so they can't come straight out of High Watch and into the sober house. So this was a big issue in North Canaan, too, where you had a lot of people coming out of Mountainside, and then some, you know, people who were trying to take advantage of that and taking, you know, houses in bad shape and slapping up, you know, cheap walls between rooms, so you had to have 10 people living in a property, nobody there doing oversight. And, of course, the drug dealers would find out about it and would start circling around the neighborhood. So this was a huge problem in North Canaan, and there are a lot of complexities with the zoning on that. And so in Kent, they're trying to make sure that that's not going to be what the situation is. It sounds like the Roberti family is really, you know, putting a lot of serious thought into this, so we'll see what happens with it. It's ongoing.
Well, we only have about 4.5 minutes left. I want to go over to the editorial. State needs to take a second look at the highway safety in Salisbury.
Right, which we talked about briefly, but, you know, some of the things that first electman in Salisbury, Curtis Rand, said he had tried to approach the state on were lessening the speed limits, and who would think you would get pushback on that coming into as active a town as the center of Salisbury, and yet he was refused to have that. speed limit changed, and there are pedestrian blinking lights, you know, pedestrian activated blinking lights in the middle of Lakeville that really are very visible, and cars coming down that hill from 44 can really see them in Lakeville, and it is a great safety measure. He tried to get the same thing into Salisbury as soon as they went up in Lakeville and was told by the state they're no longer allowed in state projects. Now, why not? Hard to say. That we don't have answers on, but we do know that this is what the state told them, and they told them this a while ago. So step by step, it seems as if the state and the town will have to get together and figure something out. Tom Shackman and John Poger asking people to sign a petition they have out there, and they're hoping that this will put some pressure on the state to listen to the town. So do when you see them, speak with them, and if you feel so inclined, look at the petition too. But something should be done. And Marshall, you're right to say that it's not just the motorists, it's also pedestrians who need to be careful and very aware. It's not a small town street and a road that you don't have to be as aware on anymore. It's Route 44, and we have people coming through who aren't familiar with the area, and you know, trucks who are on a schedule, and just you know, people who aren't as giving as much attention to their driving as they should be, and perhaps they're walking. Everybody has to be more aware. So we talk about that in more depth, and we have a really good letter from Michael Clemens on climate change, from Robin Markey on the Metcalf situation in Canaan, and Gretchen Gordon on voting out Trump. And Norma Galaise, of course, has Turning Back the Pages, where you always find something interesting of the past.
All right. And on the Viewpoint page, of course, Peter Steiner. But then a nice farewell to Cokie Roberts.
Right, from Varjan Frungian, who is a regular columnist for us, who just gives such a wonderful tribute to Cokie Roberts and experienced what many of us did throughout her life as a journalist, hearing her voice on NPR or, you know, on TV, and hearing that professionalism and soothing voice. So do read that. And Matt Gordon talks about asking your doctor about drugs and how we are so prey to the advertising that pushes the drugs on us. Mary Close Oppenheimer on Our Home, Our Future, Sharon Hospital facing geographic, economic, and housing obstacles to hiring locally.
All right, we have about a minute and a half left, and that is Compass.
That's Compass. We have a great piece by Fred Baumgarten on the Hotchkiss School presenting orchestral music now, performed by both students and professionals, and it's the Hotchkiss Orchestra. They have their first concert on October 4th. Read this article to find out all about it. Cynthia Hoxwender has a wonderful piece on Garrison Keillor coming into New Marlborough and being interviewed by Simon Winchester. Read that to find out more. And The Elusiveness of Time is C.B. Wismar's review of Time Stands Still at Shakespeare and Company. Fascinating, really good. And don't miss Lance Christensen's take on Salade Niçoise. Beautiful photo. Makes everyone want to have that last summer salad, even though it's now fall. And don't miss calendar. Lots still going on.
And the real estate section this week.
Yeah, we have Tri-Corner Real Estate. Lots of properties to look at. All price ranges. Really interesting to see what's happening around here with real estate. Very important to our economy. So take a look.
Just some of the stories in the Lakeville Journal and Millerton News, by the way. TriCornerNews.com, also on Facebook and Instagram, and on your newsstands as well. We'll speak to you guys next week.
Thank you so much.
That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal here on Robin Hood Radio.